keep trying to turn in verses. Well, I'm trying to hide the slips, okay, and get rid of them, but I'm all the way into March now, okay? So we're going to end sometime in there, but no, it's great. So basically, and like I said, it says a lot about you as a church. Every time as a minister, no, I don't want to go. As a minister, I ask the question where I'm pastoring, what do they need? And ask God that and try to go there spiritually in the Word. And I feel you guys are pretty solid. Didn't say you're perfect, so don't get a big head. But that there's not any big issues that we're able to do something I've never been able to do in ministry, and maybe you've never seen. It's just we had you write down your favorite verse and why, and I'm doing sermons on that. Because there's a reason, obviously, it's your favorite verse, because God spoke directly to you somewhere in your life where that verse became real. And so I think that's awesome, you know. So anyway, so we're going to be looking at Romans 8:31. I also want to talk about, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, and I know why I'm a Baptist. And yes, there's other Christians that aren't Baptists, but a lot of you are concerned about Israel and different things and people that are suffering, and we definitely need to pray and support that. But I want to tell you, a lot of times we're looking for solid ways if we want to give. And I just saw this, which I wouldn't give anything directly or buy anything directly on Facebook, because I'm still waiting for my $4 Hey Dude shoes to come in from China. So anyway, yes, I learned. Okay, but anyway, but I saw an ad, and I'll have Dan make sure he does a link on our website. But I did see an ad on Facebook, and I love how it said also, we're not Meta. But as Southern Baptists, we have the cooperative program, and we don't do a physical offering. We put the plates, in case you're wondering, at both entrances, and you can give your regular tithe. But twice a year, we give for North American missions, so church starts and things like that, disaster relief when there's a disaster. And now we have a new thing called sin relief. And what that means is, a portion, we give a portion of what we put in the plate every week to go and help things like disaster, help start churches, seminaries, all that. We talked about the cooperative program. We have a new thing. It's been around for a while, but maybe new. It's called Sin Relief. And what that enables to do, part of that money we give, they don't have to wait on anything. They can send money to where areas are needed. And so if you've been wondering a good way, if you needed to wanted to give, I know there's a lot of organizations that are good, but a safe, secure way, if you want to give to help the refugees and different things in Israel, all you have to do on your envelope or your giving, put Sin Relief for Israel, and all that funds will make sure they get directly there. But that's anything. Whenever we see a disaster, Sin Relief is our way of a safe way for you to do that. So, and that's why I go back to, I like the ad said, we're not Meta, which translated, we're not Facebook, we're not gonna steal your money, and it's not a scam. So anyway, that's my translation. So anyway, just let you know that, because a lot of times people wanna give securely, and so we'll figure it out. So it's funny to me how I feel people's verses also kind of go with their personality, and this is David Hunter's favorite verse, and it's Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And his reason is we win. God is on our side. And Dave reminds me so much of my wife. It's just straightforward. You know, I want to go five different areas, and just but that's so the sermon's over. I mean, that's what that verse means, and he's right, and he preached it. That's why he's a deacon, so we can go hit the buffet quick. But no, we'll talk a little bit about that. So great verse. I'm loving this. I mean, you guys all got good stuff. Dan's verse, I lost it. Okay, if he brings it back, it's too late. That's a nasty verse, Dan. Okay, I could preach it, but we'd have to tell the kids to not be here or something, whatever. And yeah, it's in the Bible. But I'm loving these verses. And so I got a question for you. You know, do you ever feel anyone's on your side? It's not about sides, but sometimes do you feel like, wow, you know, that there's obstacles? What about the obstacles that you're facing? Everybody's facing different obstacles because life is not easy. We're in a sinful, broken world that's not going to be right till Christ makes it right. He's made the spiritual things right, but one day there'll be a new heaven, new earth. But whether you're especially, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or not, this world is hard. What matters that you're saved is you have the Holy Spirit, you have the promise of God, and then if he's for you, who can be against you? But everybody here is facing some kind of obstacle. Maybe some kind of opposition in your life. And maybe there's something in your life that makes you feel insecure. I'm not trying to make us feel down. These are just things that life throws at us. And here we see in Romans 8:31, God's clearly saying, if he's for us, who can be against us? And you can choose to go it alone, or you can choose to go with God. And a verse that God taught me before I ever came here, I remember I was in a church and had some really good, I call them Joshuas. We were in a hard spot, and we're trying to reestablish the word of God, and the deacons and spiritual leaders had to do a lot of hard things. And if you remember Moses had Joshua and Aaron. Moses had to keep his hands raised when they were in a battle, when Israel was fighting some of its enemies. And every time Moses' arms got tired, they would start losing, you know, because his arms would go down. So Joshua and Aaron held up Moses' arms, and they won that battle. And this was a spiritual Joshua in the church that I was in. And I don't worship people. I'll be anybody's friend here that'll allow me to be your friend. I tell my kids, I hate it when my kids say that I have favorites. I don't have a favorite kid. Just some of them are easier to deal with than others, okay? Let's just put it that way, okay? Doesn't mean they're the favorite. But as far as church people, I'll be any of your friends and stuff like that. And I know that I'm the pastor, but this was a person, you know, he was a Joshua, he's a spiritual leader and still a good friend. And God told me, what happens if they leave? And they ended up leaving the church. They weren't mad or anything like that. And it hurt. It hurt because I know this is not my church, but you can take some of this stuff personally, you know, if you're shepherding people. This is Christ's church, under shepherd. Well, alone. And a verse God showed me was 2 Timothy, I think it's 4:17. The Lord alone stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached completely through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And also the Lord protected me from the mouth of a lion. Why do I say all that? Because Paul wrote that when he was all alone in prison. And the Lord alone stood with me and strengthened me. And so a question that God has been dealing with me for a few years, coming to this church and dealing with those things before and now, is God enough? Is God enough for whatever obstacle you're facing, whatever opposition is pushing against you, whatever is making you feel insecure, is God enough? Because if God is for us, who can be against us? So you can either choose to go it alone. Those little kids, when they say, I can do it. Or you can go with God. If we're a believer and a child of God, we can live securely because God wins. And your action step today is this. Win with God. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. And yes, you guessed it. Your points are going to spell out the word win. And not W-H-E-N, W-I-N, okay? So it'll be a short sermon. Hopefully you get to your barbecue, whatever you're doing. I don't know. I'm just messing with you. So in Romans, this is one of the five critical questions, and it's used seven times here. And it's Paul's kind of doing a question and answer of concerns we have on who or what can separate us from God. It could be people, it could be ourselves. You could say, well, God might, or Jesus might, or circumstances. And then you get in the whole thing, we're more than conquerors through Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is why you might want to mark these chapters, and whenever this opposition and insecurity hit, this is a good verse. I had this one memorized. God is for us, who can be against us? Because all the time, something's going to try to separate you. Paul's teaching believers we can be secure, that we can win through Christ to all who are chosen, to all who believe, to all who trust, to all who have faith in Christ. But we still can have doubts and we still can be afraid. And Paul closes this chapter with those that are still in doubt. He is trying to help assure believers and us today that we don't need to doubt, we don't need to be afraid, because if God is for us, who can be against us? To help us realize we win because Christ is the victory for all of us, and that we can live secure because Christ has won victory for us. How can we win? And there's going to be some scriptures up there before we get to Romans 8, 31. Well, first of all, the struggle of sin and the flesh and the law. Romans 7, 25 says this: "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with my mind I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin." You know, this week, if I were you, if you're not familiar, I would go back, look at chapter 7, look at chapter 8, and then read Romans 8, 31. Because chapter 7 of Romans is the reality of what we deal with as Christians. I'm going to abbreviate: the things I want to do, I don't, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And what a wretched person am I. Guys, I don't know if... When I went to Bible college for a year because I got kicked out, I didn't get kicked out, okay? I switched schools, okay? But I tell a lot of you that I'm a recovering legalist. And so when I see legalists, I just really want to pop their bubble. I just get mean inside, and God just has to set me down because I know how that is. You've heard of a Pharisee in the Bible. They had all these laws, and you had to do stuff a certain way. And if you're OCD and you're a legalist or a Pharisee, they all go together, and they're a very bad combination. And so the legalist says, if you don't do it exactly this way, you're off the bubble, and there's no grace, and so you can never do anything right. So here's a question I have for you. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "We're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast," you know? And works have a place. So I went to Bible college, and before I went to Bible college, I thought, wow, I'm going to get to Bible college. The streets are paved with gold. Everybody acts right. They're going to do the right thing. And I've shared the story before. Get right there, and I see these students do a horrible thing. And my bubble was popped. That's what Romans 7 is going to do for you. He's saying, everything I want to do. See, I think so many times when we become Christians, we think everything's going to go well for us. And I tell most people, it's probably going to get worse. Not because you're not saved and secure and you have the Holy Spirit, but do you think, okay, if you allow God to save you, do you think Satan's going to like that? Because then you become dangerous. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and then God tells you to go tell other people about that. So don't you think opposition and obstacles and insecurity are going to increase, not decrease? And so when you get to chapter 7, what we see here is Paul saying, I got the Holy Spirit in me. And you can go to Philippians 2:13, says, for it talks about the Spirit gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases God. But we're all still struggling with, left to ourselves, we'll do bad things. I feel like the older I get, yes, I'm trying to get closer to God, but the older I get, the closer I get to the real Russell. And I don't do fake. But some of us have been church broke, and we've learned how to act, okay? And that's why sometimes I feel more comfortable with lost people, because at least they're being honest where they're at. I'm not approving what they're doing. But the older I get, the more God's getting to the heart issues, and it's like, wow, you just learned to act right, but you're really just a grumpy, kind of mean person, and I want to deal with that. That's just Russell. None of you older guys in my Bible study group. I'm not picking. I'm just messing with you. But you see what I'm saying? Guys, I want to help you that you're going to struggle with this. And boy, if we ended at chapter 7, we might as well just go home. But at the end of chapter 7, you know, he talks about thank God for his grace. And then the solution of salvation through Christ, you get to Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. And obviously I had one memorized. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Pharisee, the legalist, says, you've got to do this. The law that God gave the Israelites and us was just to show what sin was, to teach us what wrong was and what right was, but it wasn't to save us. Jesus had to save us, and then his Spirit comes inside us, And then we live in freedom and we can freely follow God. Not condemned. We win. We're set free. We were dead in our sins. We're raised now to life in Christ. And we're living the law of the Spirit. And this is awesome. Yes, we need to study the Word. We need to know the things that God says. But the Holy Spirit, this is why we need to learn the Word. This is why we need to memorize the Word. This is why these favorite verses are important. Because if I talk to everyone individually on these favorite verses, obviously somewhere in their life, they were going through something and God showed them this and they had that aha moment. And then also like verses like this, the Spirit will bring them back up to you when you need them. So this is a good one. God is for us. Who can be against us? The winning power of the Spirit. Romans 8:11 says this, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through the Spirit who lives in you." So Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So God is beginning to recreate in us, but we still have our sinful selves that until Christ comes or we go to be with Him, we'll be completely made right. But now we got the Holy Spirit. Now we've got freedom. Now we've got salvation. Raised from the dead, lives Christ through the Holy Spirit, lives in believers, and He brings us to light. And so then we either have a spirit of fear or a family. Now 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. So if you're still fearful, and we're not talking about the fear where you respect somebody, a healthy respect, we're talking about terror and fear. If you're still living in fear, you need to ask the question, have I received Christ, or am I listening to the devil and his opposition and not what God's Word says? You have a choice whether you're going to live in fear or you have a choice whether you're going to live as family. Romans 8, verses 15 and 16 says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children." Heather and I went to college together at John Brown University, and not the abolitionist, but an evangelist. We'll get into that later, okay? And now make me think of the album cover of Kansas, but we won't get into that. Chasing a rabbit just to keep you awake. So we'll go from there. But here's the deal. What we see here, we had a teacher, Heather and I, Dr. Balla, great guy. If you're a recovering legalist like I was, he'd drive you nuts because you'd almost say he's a spiritual hippie, but he wasn't. Okay, so he taught business and a very spiritual man. I don't know why I was in the business class. Maybe it was a basic one. I don't know. Okay, anyway. So every time in his class, he would open in prayer. It was a Christian college, so that was normal. But he would call God in prayer Dad. And it just drove me nuts. But that's what Jesus is doing here. Well, Jesus is His Son. He can do that. No, what did it say? That we can call Him Abba. That we can call Him Father. If you want to call Him Father and God, respect that works for you. But guys, what I want you to understand, it's not a dad or somebody that adopts you to take care of you because you're a troublemaker. We're talking about the intimacy that you are now a child of God. That He is your Abba, that He is your Father. And so many times, I told you when I became, I love my kids, but if I could have skipped the parenting thing and just do grandparenting, I would do that. That's just awesome, okay? You know, because here's a Dr. Pepper and a candy bar, now go see your parents, okay? Whatever, you know, trying to get back a little bit there, but we'll see, okay? This one's kind of fussy or smells a little weird. You take them, okay? Whatever. But we just have fun. But what helped me realize when I became a grandparent, I know that they're not perfect. And I know that they deal with the same things, but just that unconditional love, not that I didn't have it for my kids, but you had to parent them too, you know? But just that unconditional love helped me understand how God sees us. That we can just come along and sit beside Him and lean into Him. And we need to see this, guys. See, the devil would want you to say, well, I've got to be all formal. Yes, He is God, and you need to show respect, but he's saying that the Spirit says, Daddy. If God is for us, who is more for a family, who is more for a person than a family member, especially a mom or a dad? And so you can choose to live in fear or know that you're a child of God. No longer slaves to fear, a child of God, witnessed by the Spirit of God that comes in us. The Spirit is proof that we win, that we're part of the family of God. And yes, we haven't gotten to our points yet, but there's only three, so chill out. Okay, I know you OCD people, okay? And someday, yeah, okay, doesn't mean we won't have opposition. It doesn't mean we won't suffer. It doesn't mean we won't struggle with sin. Romans 8:22 says this, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now." I am convinced. So when, if you go back to Genesis and the garden, it was a perfect situation. I am personally convinced that there were no thorns before creation. Why would you need thorns? I think thorns are a result of the fall. I think sweet gums are a result of the fall. And the fact that a child can play with a snake and not get bit, that is the sin nature of how the world is broken and how it's changed. And so what's happening, these earthquakes, all these things that are physically happening, it is the world wearing down because it was broken by the fall that we see in Genesis. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. And it's the fact of our bodies. They're, you know, not putting anybody down, but it's interesting that people keep trying to put paint jobs on their bodies, in a sense, you know, to make it look whatever it is. And we should take care of things, but these bodies are going to wear down. And whether you physically or spiritually grown, or the fact that man invents new ways to be more evil. And that the fact, it's not about the good old days, but a lot of us could get on a bike and go halfway across the country and not without a phone, and our parents wouldn't wonder, and we'd be back at night so we wouldn't get a whipping, okay, or whatever. And now it's not about being crazy. People are more overt about their sin. And I wouldn't trust having my kids be out without some way of knowing and those kind of things. That's all creation groaning, saying, "Even so, Jesus, come quickly." Struggling, waiting for God to restore and make things right. And so that's the work of the Spirit. Romans 8, verses 26 through 28 says this, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose." The Spirit helps us when we're weak. The Spirit intercedes for us. I mean, how many times? This all goes into, if God is for us, He's for us in giving us the Holy Spirit. He's for us. How many times have you have been so distraught with the opposition or the suffering that you're going through that you don't even have words? And I've been like, "God, I don't know what to say. Take it." That's what He's saying here. What an awesome God that He can be all those things, work together for our good. That last verse, I would hold that in your holster. I'd be very careful. I'm blessed you allow me to do some law enforcement chaplaining. And there's times when the chaplain, when he's called, somebody's probably died or in a bad situation. You know what? I'm never going to use... It's Romans 8:28. I'm never usually going to use that verse when I'm on a scene and somebody just died. There's a place for that, and there's a time, but you got to be really careful on that. But if God is for us, who can be against us? And at the proper time, all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So if God is for you and He's not against you, the opposition and the things and the suffering that you may be going with, not making light of it. I love you all. I am blessed to walk with you through this. And this church is a wonderful church that walks with people through this. But Christians, we've got to read this word and know that it's all going to work together for God's good, because God is for us and He's not against us. All things lead Paul to answering this question. Yeah, we're finally getting to the focal verse. Yeah, What can separate us from God? Can anyone keep us from God? Can anyone or anything rob our salvation? Is anyone or anything greater than God? And the bottom line is this: is there anything or anyone stronger than God? You just answered it, so we can go home. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Romans 8:31. What then? And notice why I did this. This is called context. If you don't understand 7 and understand what Paul is saying, this adds more meat to this verse. And this verse already has got a lot of meat. He's saying all these things, and he said, what more can we say? What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That "if" there in the Greek is not saying maybe. It's matter of fact. God is for us. Who can be against us? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. It's not an if on a maybe. It is a for sure. And so here's your first fill-in. I know you're ready. You got those pens ready. Ready? Okay, here we go. We win because God is for us. Now, again, you can choose not to win. You mean I can choose to be a loser? Yeah, I'm thinking of Smash Mouth with the shape of an L on his forehead. Okay, yeah, go to Shrek on that. We're going back, okay? All right, we win, but you can choose to be a loser in the sense of I'm going to really help everybody here. Not everybody deserves a trophy, and in reality, not everybody wins. Okay? And when we teach people that, there's going to be losers. But guess what? On this losing, you choose whether you're going to lose or not. You're the only thing in creation that can say no to God. And he's done his part. And when I hear, how can a loving God send people to hell? Loving God is not sending people to hell. Those people are sending themselves to hell when they choose not to receive God. So we win because God is for us. God is for us because he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God has done his part. You have to choose to receive what God's done. You may need to do that today, but a lot of us have already done that. We see this proven all throughout Scripture. David, not David Hunter, David from the Bible, which he's probably named after David from the Bible. That would make sense, okay? All right? But Psalms 118:6, David said this: the Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? I love that. But again, pastor included, my biggest fears and things that distract me are usually people, because I naturally want people not to like me. To like me instead of I'm mad at you. I think if you go around and you want people upset with you, you're weird, okay? All right, I'm just saying that. Okay, now you're upset with me. I don't care. All right, but you see what I'm saying here? Everything we deal with usually is like that person. There's somebody in our life or something going on that'll push in on us. But really, what can that person do to us? Can they damn both soul and spirit to hell? God can. Can they save both soul and spirit? God can. They can't. Again, this is why we have to have a biblical worldview, guys, because if you're not into the Word and you're not shaping what you're thinking is from the Bible, then these obstacles and Satan are going to keep you diverted off, and you're going to live in fear, and you're not going to win. Isaiah 41:10. So when COVID, whenever that happened, and we've learned a lot of things about COVID, but when we knew less than we knew before, I was at I ended up with a good friend that I was extremely upset with. This is how I met him. We went to a pastor's retreat in Oklahoma. We all get settled in there. And then this guy, one of the pastors, he's like, and like he even tried to eat off my plate. No offense. When you have the OCD button, please don't try to drink after me. If you do, it's your drink now. Okay, it just really is. I'd probably let my wife drink after me, maybe, but yeah. And that's just me, and now you all know, when you're going to drive me nuts, and big deal, okay? Okay, but this was that kind of minister, the obnoxious one, not like me, right? Okay, and so he's like touching your plate, he's eating off of it, and then like basically like the next morning, oh, my doctor said I tested positive for COVID. I'm like, I hate you. Why did you come here? And this is when we knew nothing about COVID, guys. So I'm like, I'm stuck in Oklahoma. Will they let me out of here? You know? So I got in a car, drove home. We all took out of there like rats leaving a ship, you know. And then later I had to wait in Ridgecrest parking lot till I could get tested. And I'm still waiting for the doctor that I fired to get those results back. Not teasing.
I didn't get that.
Oh, shut up, Siri. Okay. All right. See, now you're awake. Okay. So anyway, I'm somewhere in Oklahoma on 69, and I'm stopped, and there's this big truck in front of me, and it's got a scripture on there. Again, guys, you think you're making fun of me? We didn't know. You know, we didn't know how bad it was going to be, and people died from it. We didn't know how to handle the things right now, and so this stuff was real. And so I'm at a light in Oklahoma trying to get home. And this verse, Isaiah 41:10, was strapped on the back of that semi. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Whatever you're going through right now, are you going to listen to God's word or the junk the devil's throwing at you and everybody else? You're either going to believe God's word or not. And boy, that song, Here's Your Sign, right in front of me. How great is God? Don't be afraid because God is with us. Don't be afraid because He is our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He holds, the way it says here, I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Some of us have gotten too big for our britches and we're like those little kids and I can do it. But it's funny how those little kids, when they trust somebody, they get right up next to them. What do we need to do with Daddy God? If He's for us, our Daddy God can beat anybody out there. Yeah, here's the next fill-in. We win because God through Christ continually intercedes for us. If the glory of the Lord is your rear guard, just His glory. When Moses went to, he couldn't look at God directly. He had God hit him in the cleft of the rock, and then Moses came back down to the people, and they made him cover his face because just from God's glory, just not even seeing God, Moses' face shone, and the people said, cover your face because we can't even look upon that. We got to realize, guys, we serve a big God. And He intercedes for us because of who God is. Jeremiah 20:11 says this, but the Lord is with me like a violent warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Since they have not succeeded, they will be utterly shamed and everlasting humiliation that will never be forgotten. Violent warrior? He's tough. He won't fail, but they will fail, and they will not succeed, and they will be shamed. God can handle our enemies and anyone or anything that is against us. So this week, when you think about this, and during this time of invitation here in just a little bit, you might need to come to this altar and lay those oppositions and those enemies and do 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You need to decide, is God big enough to handle whatever I'm dealing with? According to His word, He is. Hebrews 13:6 says this, therefore we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Memorize that one. I love people. I'm not against people. And I'm thankful for what I do, but over 30 plus years in ministry, I've had a lot of man push their junk instead of God's junk and try to get me to push that junk out to the church. If you go to the American church today, the theology is not about the Bible. It's whatever. It's culturally right and not going to hurt anybody's feelings. So we're patting people on the back on their way to hell. Amen. Do you want your doctor, when you have something going on, to tell you the truth or just kind of make you feel good? That we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what my boldly say that the Spirit is our helper, and I will not fear. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul's conclusion is God, through the redemption work of Christ, we all win. He can quash anyone that stands against us or against Him. Your last fill-in. No one can stop God. We win because God is for us. We win because he intercedes for us. We win because no one can stop God. So the question I have for you today and during this season, what is separating you from God? Well, Pastor, I know Jesus and I've got a relationship, but we all got things in our life that are opposing, that are pressing, that we're suffering through. We've all got those little voices that are speaking to us. And the question is, you need to lay that down and you need to remember, and this is why I appreciate this verse, if God is for us, who can be against us? Because we win. You may need to pray today. You may need to lay something down. You may need to look at this week, but you have to make the choice, am I going to be obedient to God's word or not? As we stand on our feet and have a time of invitation.